Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. First Monday of 2022. Merry Christmas, because it is still the Christmas season. We're still in the 12th day of the Christmas. And Happy New Year. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And you know what we do on the first Monday of the month, but we're trying to get you ready in case you had wanted to buy a house in 2021, didn't buy a house in 2021 for whatever reason, or the game plan has always been to buy a house in 2022. We're going to always try to get you ready and have you prepared. And we have our mortgage expert on this morning to help us do that. Jabir Najir of Rajon Mortgage is with us again. Good morning and Happy New Year. Oh, is he not there? No, I just talked to him not too long ago. Have to see what's up with him. So anyway, how you doing? What's going on with you? What's your goal for 2022? So if you want to, while we're waiting on Jabir, give me a call. The number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. Would like to know what's on your agenda for 2022. Hope it's something that you can share with us. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, if you kind of let us in on what you're planning, maybe we can get some experts on to help you get your game plan on. For whatever it is that you're planning. But let me go see what's going on with Jabir. So if you all would hold for just a minute, we're going to go to a quick break already, and then I'm going to try to find Jabir, and then we're going to get started. So this is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. Are you there, Jabir?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I can hear you now. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Thanks for having me. Sorry about that. Something messed up. I wasn't sure if you got it there. I was going to be about 2 minutes late there. Sorry about that, everyone.
And I missed it. Oh, well, thank you for you know, being with us, taking the time to share. How was your holiday? First of all, let's talk about that. How were the holidays for you?
Holiday was really relaxed. I was supposed to go out of town for Christmas with family, but ended up staying local. And mm-hmm. for New Year's, just brought in just at home with me and my girlfriend. We just kind of just relaxed and chill. We weren't out at any type of parties or anything like that. And then yesterday just enjoyed just a weekend being out a little bit on the water.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yes,
that's
how about yourself?
Yeah, kind of, you know, my husband had time off, and anytime he has time off, it kind of slows my roll a little bit, you know, because it's somewhat unpredictable, you know. He doesn't necessarily tell me stuff in advance for me to plan around, but, it, you know, and,
right.
and that's fine. That's fine. You know, he took me out to the new place. I like exploring new place to eat and stuff like that, so he took him out to a new place that one of his coworkers had told him about on Friday morning, and it was nice. It was nice. It was nice. I actually like when he's off during the week because
right.
whenever we go somewhere, it's less crowded, you know, and
it's
kind of a let your hair down. You know, you're not working, I'm not working, or I'm not working as much as maybe I would be working because, you know, if he's off, I'm definitely going to take that time. And so
right,
it's usually a nice face-to-face time, which we don't get much of during the week or at all, really, but that nice face-to-face time, you're sitting across from me, and we get to have a conversation, we get to catch up, and, you know, we get to laugh, and that's always nice. So,
all right, not have to worry about everything else in the world and just enjoy each other.
Right, right. And then, you know, New Year's Eve, it was, you know, I do like to kind of go out, but, you know, he's kind of a homebody. And so we just kind of, I did some appetizers and we got our sparkling water and some tea and some other stuff and just kind of, you know, brought it in with New Year's Rockin' Eve and just, you know, had the debate on whose clock was right.
Right.
as we go into 2022. But it was nice. It's been nice having him home. So speaking of home and homes, let's talk about, you know, what happened on the home ownership front in 2021 and what you were able to observe and how things started and how they ended up and what you observed.
Well, 2021 was a great year when you look at real estate in regards to numbers, in regards to where the house prices went and the amount of lending that went on. I mean, we hit some record numbers ever for the amount of lending that went on in 2021. Actually, 2020 and 2021, you know, really back-to-back, we had some great numbers. But we also ran across some challenges when it comes to homeowners. A lot of homeowners were able to get into homes. Homeowners were challenged with two things, really. The rapidly increasing rapidly increasing home prices were increasing. I feel, and I'd have to look at the chart to give you the exact number, but I feel somewhere around the end of February, early March, prices started to tick up, and then it just really took off throughout the summer. But then the challenge that we were faced with for homeowners is that they actually had to overpay in regards to, a lot of homeowners in regards to the value of the property. So we start to see contracts go in, and there's a financial contingency, or appraisal contingency rather, that basically didn't allow the buyer to pull out because of the appraised value coming in lower. Or close to the end of the year, we start to see where maybe the contract was written that the buyer will not spend more than $10,000 or $20,000 above value. So for a lot of people, and keep in mind that the lender is only going to lend on a percentage of either the purchase price or the value of the property, whichever is lower. And just to give you an extreme example, say you're purchasing a home that's $300,000, but the seller is selling it for $500,000, for example. I know this is an extreme example, but sometimes I like to use extreme examples so everybody can see the big picture. The lender is not going to lend on 95% of the $500,000. They're going to lend on the 95%, if you're going conventional, of the $300,000, which means you have to take the difference out of pocket to pay to the seller. So there's many cases where the home would come in $20,000 below value, and a buyer may say, okay, well, they'll just borrow the 95% of the contract price, but the lender's only going to lend on value of the property if the purchase price is higher. So there are cases where we've had people who happen to have the savings and they really, really need to get into a home. There are some that were lucky enough that they were able to sell the home that they recently owned, and they got a lot more for the home than they expected. So they're able to just transfer those proceeds to the new home. So we do expect things to become a little bit more of a, I'm not sure if even playing ground would be the right word, but a little bit more reasonable in regards to the way the contracts are this year. The real estate market is expected to continue to increase, but maybe not as at a rapid rate as it did in 2021.
The part of the reason, too, that the home buying process has been slowed down has been because of the builders and building materials, you know, that access to that in you know, labor and all that kind of stuff. That has forced some of this to slow down a little bit as well, right?
Yes, yes. So materials were and still are, but I guess it's a little better now. But as anybody knows, we do have a supply chain issue worldwide, really. So materials were even a lot harder to come by earlier in the year. I guess it's a little bit easier now. If anybody's been to went to a Home Depot in end of 2020 or even beginning of 2021, something as simple as a wall plate cover for your electrical socket, sometimes they were just totally out and they didn't know when that 79 cents or however much that cover cost. I mean, I know it's under a dollar. It may be more now because of inflation, but traditionally it's a part that's under a dollar that they had no idea when that would come in due to supply chain. So what that also caused is a shortage in the new construction of homes, which allows these homes to even go faster in prices, because the homes that existed, because there are less new construction, it caused those prices to go up, and the homes that were new construction, now builders are having to charge more because their supplies cost more, so they have to just basically pass those extra expenses on to the buyer in order for them to be profitable. If not, they'll be building a home at a loss. They'll be a nonprofit organization.
Right, right. I wanted to ask you, too, were there any situations that you know of or observed where because of things that happened as a result of COVID, people had to back out of situations where they were purchasing or they were pre-approved for a mortgage and just said, hey, you know, we just can't do it right now?
Yes. More so when it comes to the individual. There's people who either lost their job or really, when it comes to self-employed borrowers, I would probably say those are probably some of the toughest ones. Because there's a new overlay since COVID that requires a self-employed borrower to provide their business statements to show that there's actually income still coming in to the business. Now, we do have – now, in the past, we only had to show your last 2 years of tax returns and a P&L, year-to-date P&L, which you could really do that yourself. It doesn't have to go through an accountant. Even though a lot of people chose to use an accountant, you could – whether you did it on an Excel spreadsheet or you pulled it from your QuickBooks, that's all we needed. But since COVID, now Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac especially, they require you to provide your last 3 months of bank statements to show that income's still coming in. Well, what if you're in a business that's seasonal, where a lot of your business comes during the summer months, for example, but then things slow down at the end of the year and now you're trying to purchase at the end of the year? You may have had one of the best years that you've had in years, but because you're in your slow months where income isn't as great as it is during the rest of the year, now it makes it seem as if you're actually losing money when you're really not losing money, or that your business may be suffering. So that's the one thing that when it comes to self-employed borrowers where there's a little bit of a challenge. Sometimes there's ways to get around it, but for buyers who have purchased in the past, they're wondering, why do I have to go through these things now when I didn't have to go through these on the last two properties that I purchased? So I think that hopefully that will hopefully go away in 2022, where some of these overlays for self-employed borrowers aren't around. Other than that, there's not too much that as far as challenges that other people have run into that cause them to actually have to back out of contract.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Jabir Nasir of Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had such good entertainment. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I've never had such good entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. and I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's Chill Out Jazz, the soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill Out Jazz. Are you chillin'?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had as a good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Jabir Najeer of Rise on Mortgage. It is Mortgage Monday, the first Monday of the month of this year of G's Power Hour. I've never had so good entertainment. If you have questions, concerns, topics that you want to have Jabir address, the number is 516-387-1944. So one of the things that's occurring for to get us started for this year, 2022, is, I guess you could say, the criteria for some of the loans. Can you talk a little bit about that in terms of, I guess, FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac?
I think you may be referring to the loan limits.
Yeah.
I think that we – okay, great, great. Yeah, so with FHA and conventional, they actually increased the loan limits for actually all across the country. So for them, the easier one is actually for conventional because that's pretty much standard across the United States, where the old maximum loan limit for a conventional loan was $548,250. And what would happen is that if you went above that loan limit, then you have to go into a jumbo loan, and that's a whole different criteria of lending guidelines. Now, not that jumbo loans are bad or one's better than the other, but there are certain things that are a lot more flexible with both with conventional loans that why people would prefer to go the conventional route. Number one is there's a lower loan limit. Lower down payment requirement. And they're a little bit more flexible in other things such as DTI. So they've actually increased that from the $548,250 to $647,200 for single family residents. And if it's a duplex, it's $828,700. For a triplex, it's $1,650,000. And for a quad, it's $1,244,850 for a quadruplex. So they've actually increased those loan limits across the board because, of course, the property prices are increasing across the board. So a lot of these houses were actually getting priced out. Now, with FHA, that's a little more difficult to just give a blanket statement like that because that's actually dependent upon what state. And even within one state, it depends on what area of the state you live in. So, for example, the Orlando, Central Florida region, and this is just generally speaking, is $420,680, which is an increase of almost $100,000. Actually, for conventional, it's almost $100,000 increase as well, too. In South Florida, like the Miami region, I believe that's $460,000. And if you're out west, like in the Naples area, that's $552,000. So these loan limits have increased. If you're in any of those areas listening in and you're familiar with FHA, these are very significant increases to the loan limits from last year. So if you weren't able to qualify for an FHA loan last year, one of the big benefits of an FHA loan over conventional is there's a lot more flexibility. Really, even though FHA technically doesn't have a minimum credit score, a lot of times you hear the 620s or the 640s, but if you have a 580, for example, you can still get an FHA loan 3.5% down on this $420,680 loan limit, and they're a lot more flexible when it comes to recent bankruptcies and foreclosures. So those are some of the benefits where if you weren't able to get a FHA loan last year, based on the home that you had in mind, now you may actually qualify for it as of January 1st, actually.
So if someone wanted to find out, okay, what could I qualify for? What is the max loan limit for my situation? Where can they find that out?
Well, if you want to know what the max loan limit will be for the area you live in, you can actually go to HUD's, for FHA, go to HUD's website. So if you just type, it's actually at HUD.gov, but to bring you direct, because I know that website can be a little hard to navigate. So instead of going to HUD.gov, if you actually just Google FHA loan limits 2022, it'll actually, the link will actually come up to actually go directly to that area of FHA, the FHA website. For Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, same thing. If you just Google, it'll come up and to bring you directly through the link instead of, you know, me telling you to go to the Fannie Mae website, because both websites have everything on there from guidelines to underwriting guidelines to information for the consumer. So I think it's easier just for me to go to Google to get to the right link. In regards to your particular scenario, your particular profile, then the best thing to do would actually be to contact a mortgage broker. If you don't have a mortgage broker, then of course feel free to contact me, and I'll be able to take a phone application, online application, or however you like to take the application, and we'll let you know within 24 hours how much you can qualify for. And that would be based off a couple of things. Credit and income is one of the biggest things, but more specifically when it comes to credit, a lot of times somebody may say, I have a 720, how much can I qualify for? And it's not necessarily based on your credit score, but it's also based on your income and what's on your credit. For example, two people have the same exact income, but one person just has a credit card for a $50 payment monthly, that person will qualify for much more than somebody who has three car payments, some student loans, and, you know, six credit cards. So I get that question a lot where somebody says, hey, I have this score and this income, how much do I qualify for? We definitely need to get some more information in regards to the amount of debt that's on your credit. And also, have you had any bankruptcies recently, foreclosures recently? That could actually help to determine what would be the best program for you.
Okay. And I did find, I guess, where HUD had put out a press release about it, so I did find that, and I did share that on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So hopefully that will give you a little bit more insight in terms of what the limits are, and we'll give you some more information in terms of where you can find out where your what best suits your situation. So, wanted to make sure that everybody had access to that, and thank you, Javier, for explaining that. Now, I do want to ask you about something you mentioned, which was a balloon payment type of mortgage. And that's, you know, that's not necessarily best suited for everybody. So, you know, I've always wondered why do they even have it, but it's suited for some people. So can you talk a little bit more about who that is best suited for?
Right. So if you're really looking for some of the lower payments, you actually have a true plan for the home that you're in, whether it's to sell the home in the future, or maybe refinance in the future, or you may be in a better financial situation to take advantage of a better program. A lot of people actually would prefer the balloon payment, and we've actually had people who will come to us and say, hey, I don't want a fixed rate mortgage. Give me your adjustable rate mortgage rates or your balloon payment rates. And you're like, well, why would anybody do that? Well, typically they have lower interest rates to get into this loan program. So a lot of times people look at, oh, I'm going to buy a home, I want a 30-year mortgage. And if you're listening to this show right now, there's a good chance if you own a home or if you had multiple homes, most people do not, you know, stay in their first mortgage for the full 30 years. Yes, every once in a while you will hear about somebody who had a mortgage and they stayed in for all 30 years. But a lot of times people either refinance, pull cash out, pay off debt, or they'll just sell the home and move to another home, and they didn't go the full 30 years. They only lived in the home for 5 years. So there are cases where somebody may purchase a home, and they know they're going to be in the home strictly for investment purposes. They're going to rent the home out for 5 years. They're going to sell it. They have a child that will be going to college in 6 years, and they have already done their calculation on you know, how much money profit they can make off the property and where they should be able to sell the home for in the future. So a lot of people actually have actually planned out their investment over the course of 5 years, 10 years, or sometimes it's just 3 years. They want to take advantage of the lowest possible payment. They know they don't need a fixed rate because they're not going to be in the home for that period of time. And now with the balloon payment, there are situations where, yes, things change. You say, hey, I only planned on staying in this home for 10 years. Now the 10 years is up, I have a balloon payment coming up on the beginning of the 11th year. And you can simply just refinance to pay off that mortgage. I know sometimes people get very nervous when that balloon payment comes around. But it's not that the money has to come out of your personal pocket for the balance. The money can come from another lender. A lot of times, as long as the biggest thing I would say, which I actually have had happen, where somebody would come to me literally 30 days before the balloon payment is due, and they'll come to me wanting to refinance. So please don't put yourself or your broker in that position. You know, definitely, hopefully, give us, you know, a couple months so you don't feel under that pressure. Even though we only need 30 days to close a loan, but sometimes a small thing, a lien pops up on title and it throws off the whole time schedule. So to answer your question again, in short, it's really dependent upon what the future plans are that you may want to take advantage of a lower payment today.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I that was going to be my question about refinancing that type of mortgage, but, you know, so I'm glad you answered that. So one of the things that I saw today was about considering reverse mortgage for those, I guess the reverse mortgage is like 62 years and older. And is there a reason why maybe this would be a good consideration to do right now for some seniors?
So the two things, well, one of the biggest things I would say which makes it easier for seniors is that because home prices have increased so much, the value mm-hmm. of your home is higher. And when they actually give you a reverse mortgage, they're based off of the equity and your age. And they have a life expectancy for everyone, not you as an individual, but a general life expectancy. So the older you are, the less equity you have to have in the property. But if you are younger, then they're going to require you to have more equity in the property because they're basing off of how much equity you have in the property and what the balance on the home will be when you come closer to the end of the life expectancy. So
mm-hmm.
one of the great things when it comes to the reverse mortgage is that you can actually use the equity as a way to help basically float your lifestyle expenses. A lot of times whenever you become older, maybe a reduction in the amount of income that you have because you're working less, or you're not working
right.
at all. So a lot of times, those who are older may actually lean on some other family members in order to help float some of these expenses. And one of the great things is that you can actually use the equity to either not have any mortgage payment at all, or if you have enough equity in the property to actually give you a line of credit that you could actually use to do everything, whether it's the basic expenses of food and electrical, or if you want to use it to go on vacation, it's really
mm-hmm.
totally up to you, because if you have enough equity in there, you're saying, hey, do whatever you like to do with this equity, and generally speaking, because we will allow you to use up to this amount of equity for the life expectancy we have for you. So now the thing is that we have to keep in mind when it comes to the reverse mortgage is that it's reverse mortgage. The name of it is called reverse mortgage because the balance actually goes up monthly. The interest that you would normally pay to the bank on a forward mortgage, they're actually tacking that onto the balance of the mortgage. So the mortgage company is saying, yes, you don't have to make a mortgage payment to us, but yes, we are a business. We do lend money to get interest. We'll just get that interest 20 years from now, 30 years from now, whenever that person passes on, or if that person sells the home, then they're going to collect all that interest all at one time. So I know a lot of times people, when they hear reverse mortgage, they run away from it. But if you truly, truly understand what a reverse mortgage is, you can actually use it as a tool to make your later years a lot more enjoyable instead of having to budget very tightly you know, for the rest of, you know, the later, what's supposed to be the golden years of your life. Now, when it comes to what happens to the property after, one of the biggest things I'm going to say, and I actually have a client actually, his father recently passed away, and we refinanced the home into his name. And the biggest thing I would say is that people sometimes believe that the bank takes the home, but the bank doesn't want your home. They want to get paid. So the bank will give you initially usually 6 months to figure out what you're going to do with the home, whether you're going to sell it or refinance it into your name. And then normally you just have to request a little bit ahead of time if you need an additional 6 months extension to figure out what would the family do with that home if you really want the home. After a year, they're going to pretty much say, hey, if you couldn't figure out what to do with the home in a year, then we're going to be forced to sell the property. You know, that's the one negative thing that happens a lot when it comes to the reverse mortgages. They think that the bank just wants the home. They don't. They just want the money that's owed on the home. Or, and I know we have to cut the break, one thing that that's happens fine. A lot is that say that you're living with your mother or grandmother or whatever the situation is, and that person is in a reverse mortgage. When that person passes on, because they know that that person did not need to make a mortgage payment while they were alive, they continue living in the home for free. But keep in mind that mortgage was under the person who passed away, not for anybody else that lived in the home along with them. So once that person passes away, the best advice I have for everybody is to, literally, I know you're dealing with a painful time in life, but shortly after you have to figure out, okay, you have this house. What are you going to do with the house? Don't wait till month five to decide. I mean, you may have to, you know, take care of business shortly after that person has passed, which is the reality of it.
Right. So, I mean, it really gets important when the owners decide to do the reverse mortgage. If there's anyone who would benefit by maybe having the home after the parents pass on or something like that, to have that discussion with how this is supposed to be handled, having that game plan done ahead of time and not waiting until one or both of the people, you know, that may live in the home that had the mortgage to pass on. So,
Yes. And one thing I'm going to quickly add in there is if you are in a reverse mortgage and you did not tell your kids or whoever you want the home to be passed on to, it's just very important to have that discussion with them, because every once in a while you hear of a story where somebody was in reverse mortgage and the family members had no idea. So that's one thing I will say, just at least have that discussion with your family members on how to take care of the property after, you know, you pass away.
Right. So there's no surprises, and, you know, because that period of time when that person passes on is stressful enough, I can guarantee you. So that's not something that you want to deal with. You want to already have that plan in place and, you know, that process going on so that you don't have that additional stress. So.
Right.
We are going to take a quick break. We are here with Jabir Najer of Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning and Happy New Year, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Getting your home buying plan in place for 2022, that's what we're trying to get you some information for. So we are here with Jabir Najer of Rajan Mortgage. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. So let's talk about them, the interest rates. Where are they, and what do you foresee?
Oh, sorry. I just realized I was on mute. Sorry about that.
You
I was talking to myself.
My mother says it's okay as long as you don't answer. Anyway.
Yeah, so for conventional loans, the average rate right now is right around a 3.25. So we are still at definitely low rates there. I know a lot of people, you know, I've definitely talked to a couple of people, and they're like, oh, wow, rates are high. But, yes, they're above a 3%, which, you know, we spent a good portion of last year with, you know, these 2.75 and 2.625 30-year fixed rates on conventional loans. But, you know, traditionally, if you're looking at the history of rates, we are still at a very low point when it comes to rates. Now, the one important thing I will mention since our last show that the Fed did meet a couple weeks ago, and they are anticipating three rate hikes in 2022 as well as three in 2023. Not saying that those will happen, but it also could be more that could happen depending on the way that things go. So the most important thing I would say is that where rates are now, if you could find benefit in refinancing and lock-in savings, I would suggest that you do that. If you're in the market for purchasing a home, then I'll also suggest the same thing, that you're able to, that you would move forward with purchasing a home so you can lock something in, because we don't know where the rates are going to go 6 months from now or 9 months from now. And that home that you're looking at, whether it's $300,000, $400,000, or $500,000, that payment will be most likely be higher at the end of the year on that same home, assuming that the price was frozen. And we all know that the prices aren't frozen right now. So you have high increase in rates and increase in sales prices, which will just equate to higher monthly payments. FHA is right now is a 2.85, so we're still below a 3% on that. So you're very good rates on the FHA rates. So that's pretty much on the 30 years where you're at. Now, if you're looking at a 15-year on conventional, those are still below a 3. You're looking right around a 2.7% for – actually 2.6% on the conventional 15-year. So you will get quite a bit of a break if you're looking at the 15-year right now.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, you know, we haven't talked about them for a while, renovation loans. And the reason I wanted to kind of bring them back up, because I'm thinking that with the home prices going up so much now, in the newer homes, because of trying to grab materials and everything and trying to get good labor and other things, they're not really going to be any affordable options, I don't think, with some of the newer homes. So that means that we kind of need to go back and scour for some of the older homes. Are renovation loans still a good option?
Yes, yes. Renovation loans are a great option for those who currently live in a home that they'd like to have some upgrades done to the home, that they're just trying to figure out how are they going to afford to afford these all these great ideas they have for the home that they've been living in. And a rehab loan is a great, great choice for that. Same thing when it comes to a purchase of a new home. There's a lot of homes out here that need some rehab, and a lot of times a buyer will go into the home and they just can't really see it. They just see, like, oh, wow, this home has so much deferred maintenance. It needs a new roof. There's holes in the drywall. The kitchen hasn't been updated since 1970. And they're just looking at this home that, as we mentioned before, you may not like it. An investor sees it as has a treasure, hidden treasure here. And they're going to come in there and they're going to put the money into the home and sell you the home for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 more than if you were to purchase the home yourself and do the same thing. Because that investor, normally they're not the person with the hammer and the nails. They see opportunity. They have their crew that they're going to bring in to do all these upgrades and then sell you the home. All you have to do is purchase the home. You get your own crew in there. And if you don't have your own crew, then your agent, broker, there's a lot of people, online, Google, could basically find somebody to come into the home, give you a quote. And the thing is with most of these homes, once they get their crews in there, they're able to turn a home around usually in 30 to 45 days. Now, yes, there may be some exceptions to that. There are some bigger projects that take 2 or 3 months. But a lot of these rehab projects are 45 days because they're coming in there with a bunch of people that they have a roofing person coming in at the same time the flooring company's coming in. So there's somebody working on the outside of the home, and they'll rip up floors and put down new floors in like 3 days, you know. So the jobs can actually go through at a very, very fast pace. The only thing you have to do is see a home that you like the layout, and any problem you have with the home, just write down on a piece of paper and then get somebody come in there and give you a quote to fix all those things. You come to me where I'll let you know what your payment will be with purchase price plus the rehab that you want to get done. And if everything sounds good, then after you close, in 30 to 45 days, you'll have a brand new home once they get in there and fix everything that is of concern.
So now, can you get, because I'm usually thinking of the renovation loans or home style loans, 2 or 3K loans, in terms of being able to purchase a home that needs that type of work versus, let's say, a refi, so, or an equity. If you're already in a home, so what type of loan would that be? Would that be a type of an equity loan, or would that be a type of a refi? What would that be?
Yes, so it would be a refi. Now there's cases where you could just do a regular refinance and take the cash out and say, hey, I want to rehab my home on my own. However, there are cases where the home, even though somebody may be living in it, there's so much deferred maintenance going on there. If it's your home is in an elevated foundation where it's not a concrete slab, maybe the wood underneath started rotting out. So there's maybe areas in the home that if you step, you'll pretty much fall right through. There's some that the piping or electrical wire was done not in a professional manner. So if somebody were to come in there and do an appraisal, they're going to say, hey, this home has a lot of deferred maintenance and it's not safe to live in. And in that case, Fannie Mae or FHA is not going to give you a regular cash-out refinance. They're going to specifically do a rehab loan to know that this money is being used specifically for rehabbing the property and bringing it up to code. So there are cases, as I mentioned, that people are living in homes that over the course of years, you know, little by little, the home, just certain things pile on top of each other, and now the home has a lot of work to do. And sometimes they just revert to say, you know what, I had to sell this to an investor because I don't have the money to rehab this home, and this home needs a lot of work. But I love the home. I designed the money to rehab it. And an investor comes in there and fixes it up. But if you really love the home, don't sell it to an investor. Just get a loan,
right.
Specifically a rehab loan, which in that case, there's not too much of a concern of what the current condition is of the home because the loan is being taken out specifically to bring the home up to code.
So now, would the interest rate on a rehab loan differ a lot from, let's say, if you refinanced or you got a HELOC?
Yes. So the rates on a rehab loan, depending on the loan product in, certain factors such as LTV and score, that could be anywhere from a half a point to 3/4 of a point higher, sometimes a little bit more. So, yes, that particular loan program does come at higher interest rates than a traditional FHA loan or conventional Fannie Mae conventional loan. So once you get into the loan, if you'd like to take advantage of a lower rate later on, and hopefully because that you actually have a lot more equity in the property because the home is up to standard, then you can actually refinance into a lower fixed rate mortgage at that time.
Okay. Because I was wondering also, there may have been people who refinanced to get their rate lower but didn't think about, I could have gotten some extra money to do some of the repairs on my home. So, that's why I was kind of asking, maybe is it worth it maybe to try to
refinance again, because then you get into also, you know, fees and stuff too, either way. But
right.
I just was curious in terms of whether the fees, whether it's, and also too, is there a particular period of time maybe to wait before you refinance again? That's the other question I have too.
So, no, typically you have to wait at least 6 months. Now, what makes the most financial, what's the best financial decision as far as the benefit, that is more so based on the profile. For example, if you just recently refinanced and you have mortgage insurance but property values are still going up, you may not want to refinance after 6 months if the trajectory of the housing market still is going up. Maybe you want to wait till you're sure you had that 20% equity so you don't have to refinance into an FHA loan or into another conventional loan that has mortgage insurance. You could just wait maybe another 3 months or 6 months. So now you're a year out, but you have the 20% equity, which will save you thousands of dollars a year based on, you know, the mortgage insurance just being removed alone. But to kind of go back on the rehab, and just to clarify, the loan that actually has the higher interest rate is specifically the FHA 203K of the home style. That loan product has a higher interest rate. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you're refinancing to take cash out for home improvement that you have to get the rehab loan. So if you were able to refinance and got – just for a lower interest rate, that lets me know that you didn't need a rehab loan to bring your home up to par. So you could actually take advantage of a regular FHA loan or a regular conventional loan just to a cash-out refinance, where that cash out could be for buying a new boat, going on vacation. I mean, not that suggestive things, going shopping. Mm-hmm. Or it could be to rehab your home, because that money, even though they will ask what the money's for, it's not that you're actually tied to that. It's just part of the process where you're consolidating debt, or you could just actually say other, to be honest with you. You don't necessarily have to give the full game plan on what you're going to do with the $10,000, $20,000, or $40,000 you take out. Sometimes people say, yes, for debt consolidation or for home improvements, or you could just say, hey, just for some personal things you have to take care of. It's just part of the process. They're not really saying, no, you can't use the money for a certain thing. But yes, you could use the money for whatever and just do a regular FHA loan with the lower rate, and you could just ignore that whole higher interest rate thing I told you about, because that's specifically for the loan programs that are made for rehabbing a home.
We
Plus,
are going to
take
our final
work.
Break. Oops, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you could do that really, really quick to throw in there. If you ever do the regular loan instead of a rehab loan, it's a lot less work on you, because when we do a rehab loan, there's a lot of paperwork that the contractor has to fill out that they don't have to do if they go directly through you. And there's a couple other expenses, even though it's a couple hundred dollars. So it's not very significant to the whole scheme of things. It's still a couple hundred dollars that you can save if you did not do the rehab loan. Because there's some inspection fees that the lender is gonna charge you, because they have to come out there and make sure everything is done per the estimate. So they don't charge you for those things, because now you're going to basically quarterback this whole rehab on your own, on what you'd like to see done.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, I want to talk with Jabir about things we may need to do to get that C word cleared up and on the right track. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is chill-out jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused, because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B, we don't categorize, we just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
Are you?
Hi there. Good afternoon. Happy New Year. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hope your year has started off really, really great. And let's keep up the momentum and let's get you into a house this year, you know, or get at least maybe some improvements done on one that you have already. If you and so that's why I've been talking to Jabir Najir of Rajon Mortgage about what we can do in terms of renovation loans or HELOCs or you know, reverse mortgages, or even just getting another refi if you've done it, you know, or a new refi if you haven't done it. So that we can get those houses in good shape and just feel a little bit more secure in our homes, especially since we are doing more at home now because of the pandemic. But one of the things I want to talk about that is key for buying a home, car, whatever it is that you're wanting to do is getting that credit in order. So, and a lot of people think that they need to go to a credit counselor to do that. But there are some things that you can do without having to go to a credit counselor, right, Jabir?
Yes, definitely. A lot of times the things that are going on in the credit are things that you can actually take care of on your own. One of the biggest things really is clearing up the collections, because a lot of times we wait so long to see the credit counselor and, you know, you run across somebody in the beginning of 2022, they're going to work on their credit, and we talk to them in the summer, and they haven't even started the process because they taught their credit counselor they didn't move forward. But collections, especially older collections, a lot of times you're able to negotiate those things. And, you know, part of it is just part of you having, I guess you could say, a good talk game with the collection agency to kind of figure out what their bottom line number is, because their goal is to collect money. If it's through a collection agency, a lot of times they have a bottom dollar amount that they're willing to accept. But of course, they'll take more if they can. So part of it is just you kind of going through a back and forth. And sometimes it's not all on one conversation. Sometimes it may be over the course of two or three conversations where you kind of figure out where they are in regards to their bottom number. Just one of the big things I could say is don't let them, even if you do have a lot of money to pay off, to pay them off, just don't let them know you have a bunch of money. Just let them know you're just trying your best to make ends meet to pair up some debt, and usually able to settle that debt. But one of the biggest things, though, is that a lot of times they're going to either want that money right away, or they may actually break it up over the course of a couple of payments. So normally it may be over the course of, you know, depending on the size of the debt, of course, maybe 30 to maybe 60 days that you may have to pay it off. But in most cases, they want that money right away. The other thing outside of collections is your debt-to-credit ratio. A lot of times you may be paying all of your debt on time, but you find that your credit is still low for some reason. You can't figure out why is it so low. And a lot of times it's because your debt-to-credit ratio is too high, which is the amount of debt that you're taking out is basically close to the maximum credit they actually gave you. So let's just use $1,000 because that's the easy number to go off of. If you have a $1,000 credit limit, then you want to keep that balance right around 30% of the limit. So keep it right around $300, maybe $250. Now, if for some reason you cannot keep it at that point, I tell people at the bare minimum, try to keep it below 50% of the limit, at the bare minimum. Once you start to get above that, it could really start to have a negative impact on your credit score. As I said, the optimal place to keep it is 30%. Trying to go above 50% of the limit. But once you get into the 70% and 80% or even maxed out credit cards, you could be paying everything on time and the score is still suffering because of that. And if you ever run your credit through a credit simulator and you're close to maxed out, and even though, and we could get into that in a second, even though Credit Karma has very different scores than if you go to purchase a home or a car, they do have a credit simulator on there that is still a good tool. Even the Credit Karma credit score, score model is not a bad tool. You use it to understand what you're actually looking at. So if you go through the credit simulator and you just pay off all your debt down to 30%, if you're close to maxed out, you'll see how much that score can increase in a matter of 30 to 60 days just by paying down your debt. Everybody's different, so I don't want to give a general score increase that you should see, because some people may see a 30 or 40-point increase. But I've actually had people that in a matter of 30 days actually had over a 100-point increase just by paying down their debt. So those would probably be the two biggest things that I would say that a lot of times we're able to look at a credit score, a credit profile, or credit report, and tell you off the bat what you need to do in order to increase the credit score. Now, another big thing that I will say that I run into is those situations where you are at odds in regards to a debt that is reported on your credit report. And we see that a lot, where somebody will come to us, the credit score isn't where we're hoping for it to be, and then they have a story on AT&T or Verizon or a car company that they bought a car, but they returned it shortly after. And I understand that story. I'm not saying that story is not correct. But us as a mortgage broker can't say, okay, well, we'll ignore this and we'll just act as if you had a higher credit score. We have to go off whatever credit score is on the credit report. So my thing is that if you do want to purchase a home this year, try and settle wherever that situation is. Whether you agree with them, I've actually seen, and I get it, I've seen credit reports that have debts in dispute that are thousands of dollars, but I've also seen credit reports come to me that are in dispute because of $100 or $150. Now, I understand you don't want to pay the extra $100 or $150, but that $100 that you don't want to pay for that collection that keeps reporting every month could actually cause you not to be able to get approved for a home, or the score may be lower, so now you're paying a higher interest rate. So, yes, you didn't pay that person that $200 or $300 that they say you owe them, but now you're paying another $3,000 extra in interest per year on your mortgage because of your credit score, what it did to your credit score. So that's really up to you what you believe is the right decision for you. But when you look at it at the numbers, you're actually losing just by not paying for that small collection. The bigger collections, I understand, some of the collections are in dispute are $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, sometimes $7,000. That's a big chunk of money. But and I'm not saying that $300 doesn't matter either, but it's a small price to pay based on the amount of interest you're going to have to pay throughout the course of the year.
DeBeer, how do we get in contact with you?
Yes, you can always contact me by email at Jabir, J-A-B-I-R. At Ryajan, RIAJAN.com, or contact me on my cell phone, 321-239-5814.
Thank you again. Really appreciate you taking the time out to getting us straightened out. What's the one thing maybe we should be working on for the next month before we have you back on?
Two things I would say. I know you said one, but credit and savings. Work on that credit, and if you have any cash on hand, put it in an account. A lot of times the cash on hand, people are popping cash in a bank account right before they purchase a home. We can't prove where it comes from, so that for that reason, we can't acknowledge it. If it's been in your account for over 2 months, we don't care where it came from because we didn't know that it wasn't there before.
Okay. All right. That's good. Because, then you always have to worry about trying to prove where the money came from if it's not been in there that long. So that's a good tip. So thank you so much. Have a blessed day, and talk to you next month, God willing.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. And thank you all for being here. Talk with you tomorrow, God willing. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.